Okay, we're on session 12, and we're going to go through Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to go through verses 10 through 15. I think last week we closed on verse 10, but I think we were a little bit rushed for the sake of time, so let's kind of pick it up in verse 10, and then we'll go on to verse 15. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for the majesty and the awesomeness of your word. Amen. Thank you, God, that you have revealed your Son through your word. You reveal your nature as Father through your word. You reveal your Holy Spirit through your word. And Lord, this morning we pray that you would illuminate this word to us, Lord. That you would reveal things to us. That you would give us more of an understanding, Lord, of your wisdom and your majesty and what you have called your people to be and to do. And so, Father, we give you thanks this morning. Lord, direct our steps in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Would someone like to read verses 10 through 15 for me? Any takers?
Why don't we just go around the room?
Okay.
So that we don't go.
Sure. Go ahead. Do you want to start, Tim?
Okay. Mm-hmm. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
Okay, thank you. Okay, well, in last week's notes, and I just repeated it in the top of your notes today, Jeff asked the question. He says, this verse commands the essence of God's purpose for the church. And then he asks, what do you think her purpose is in light of this verse?
To make him known.
Okay.
Yeah.
To everybody.
Oh, that's it.
Yep. To make the Lord known.
The purpose that he had in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Right.
Well, I think to make the mystery known, too, the fact exactly. that we're, you know, now the Gentiles are being grafted.
Exactly.
You know, and not just as a secondary, but we're true children of God.
Absolutely. Yes. Thanks.
Exactly. Good. Good. Yeah, in light of this, in light of the passage that we've read before, I think you're right, Mark. Too. It's to make the Lord known, but also all the mysteries of redemption.
Because you know, if you think of this, like if you kind of put yourself in that situation, if you were a Gentile at that time, and somebody said, "Oh yeah, now we can go to the throne room of God," and, yeah, right. You know, that's for the Jews. You know, that's not for
mm-hmm.
us.
Yeah.
And so I think that this was probably a huge thing, that not only did God release an incredible amount of the Spirit of God on those people to be able to even accept that, but there's going to be a lot of skepticism. So
yeah.
God had to use the church in a great way, I think, to let those people know that we're now children of God.
And it's a revelation. You reminded me of something else, too. It's a revelation to the Jews also, because they couldn't go into the Holy of Holies either.
Right?
Right.
Right.
So this whole mystery of redemption and the freedom
that we now have access.
That we have in Christ, that we have access, which we will get into, is all being played out. And it says to make known the manifold, when we talked about this, the multi-sided, multicolored wisdom of God. By the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So we're multifaceted, we're multicolored. He's talking about the church, you know. So to make known the manifold wisdom of God, to whom, or by whom, and that is by the church. He's chosen the church. And, you know, I was thinking about this, is there's no one person in the body that has it all, that can exemplify that manifold wisdom of God. It's only through the corporate body of the church where we can see from a distance all the ways that God operates and all the ways that he works in and through us, you know.
Mm-hmm. But the funny thing is the Jewish people still don't accept this as their religion, that Christ is the Messiah. Mm. You know, they still have their Judaism. That's their religion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'm just reading this book by...
Those days will change.
They looked for a city. I don't know if you read that book. They looked for a city. One Jewish fellow came to know the aristocratic family. And, you know, and they said, he left our religion. You know, today's majority of us still the same. When they became Messianic Jews.
Yep.
So they still need to know the mystery. So.
Yes, and God is revealing all those things in his time.
You know, I think one of the difficulties, too, is, you know, you witness about Jesus to people, and they want to be your friend, but they don't want to come to your church.
Yeah.
You can only be you, and you're just not enough.
Right.
And they want to have, you know, Jesus and me, you know, walking together, you know, just the two of them. And it's very, very difficult today to get people to come to church. It's like that they're afraid of.
And we won't understand that manifold wisdom of God apart from each other.
No.
So it's a deception to think that, oh, I can just sit in my house and turn on the TV and listen to a program and get my fix, Christian fix, and then move on.
But that is what's going on.
I know.
With so many people.
It says that God has blinded them to this for our benefit.
Yeah, the Jewish people.
Right? Yeah.
And they're still on the throne, even so many that say they're Christians. They're still on the throne of their lives. They invite Jesus in their heart, but he's not Lord. And they're still doing what they want to do.
Yeah. So it is by the church that God chooses to make known his manifold wisdom. And it's interesting here, I think. It says, and to whom is this being proclaimed in this verse?
I thought it was to the Gentiles, just to give them confidence.
It's all creation, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Creation. Oh, it's all creation. Okay.
This says, to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Mm. So you're talking about the angels, the Satan and his whole hosts. Mm. He's using the church to demonstrate his manifold wisdom to all creation and all... You know, all the heavenlies. Phil, you want to read 1 Peter 1:12 and Mark 1 Corinthians 4:9?
It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. Mm. And they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things.
I thought of that and I said, well, you know, angels long to look into the things of salvation. So, to me, it's that, well, the angels don't really understand the fullness of God's wisdom and his salvation, you know, his whole plan. Yeah. You know, it's unfolding before them and they're...
Wow. Yeah, we think that all the spiritual beings...
They know everything.
Know everything.
Right.
But it's only been really revealed to Christ.
Right.
So. I mean, he doesn't know when he's coming back.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. And 1 Corinthians 4:9.
For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like men condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to men.
Yeah. We are made a spectacle. It says another term is a theater before all of creation, and they're all watching the unfolding of the wisdom of God.
You know how we all like movies and theater, and you know, we do. We love it.
Yeah.
And this is good theater for them.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
You're an actress.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all. Mm.
But I think part of the purpose is it's only through the church that angels and the heavenlies can comprehend God's great grace and mercy. You know, you see just the futility of man, you know, and all the sin and all that stuff, and as God unfolds this whole plan of redemption, that's the only way angels and demons in hell and all they can adequately see God's wisdom and His grace in all this.
Mm.
You know, oh. It's pretty amazing. I read a statement. He says it's such a paradox. It says that unsaved men look at God's plan of salvation and they consider it foolishness, but the angels watch the outworking of salvation and they praise His wisdom. Amazing. It's amazing.
It is amazing.
So God that's what He's doing. He's unfolding His manifest wisdom to all the heavenlies. And we are the center of that because we are the center of His love.
You know, when they said to the world, both to angel, they refer to the world, both to angel. Are they talking about fallen angels when they're talking about the world?
Both, I think both.
All
angels.
The angels.
Both. Principalities.
Yeah, all principalities. Because they're looking at, their perspective must be like seeing God's wisdom manifold or manifest itself and see the fullness of it. And they're probably saying, oh man, we're in trouble here. Yeah. You know, because as God unworks it, they're seeing the wisdom of God and the lack of wisdom of their ruler, you know.
They're still determined to upset the balance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now that's really foolish.
The road has been laid out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so I didn't want to skip verse 10 without kind of going through that.
Okay.
Going on to verse 11, it says, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what does this verse say about God's purpose? How does He describe it? It's what?
To bring man back to the oneness with God.
Yeah.
Eternal purpose.
Yeah. It's what? It's eternal, isn't it?
Yeah. From the beginning of time.
Yeah.
It's not just now. It's been God's plan from the beginning.
Exactly.
Yeah. To restore what He had first planned in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you see that is even better in Revelation.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Jay. How you doing?
Here she is.
Yeah, it's amazing. He had this in his mind the beginning. From the beginning. Yeah. How unfathomable is that wisdom? So, and how does it say this purpose was accomplished?
Through Christ.
Yeah. Right. That He is realized.
Right. It's all through Christ. He is wisdom. He's the embodiment of wisdom, right?
Yeah.
Good. And it's not just the cross, right? It's the resurrected life, too.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the cross, but the resurrected life, He lives.
But that that's the entry into the resume. Without the cross, you
right.
can't have
exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So his sacrifice and his resurrection and his life. And because he lives, we live. And
and.
And it leads us right into verse 12, doesn't it?
You know, I was reading the daily this morning, and hark the herald angels sing, you know, mm-hmm. the words that men live no more, and you die. And mm-hmm. it, the words are just the whole gospel is right there, that Christmas carol. Mm-hmm.
You have to listen to that.
You sing that again, and look at the words, you get the whole gospel right there.
Second word. Yep. See, Christmas carol is more than just 3 weeks before Christmas.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot better than jingle bells.
Rudolph the snowman.
Well.
And then they asked us to believe in a man that works on water, that took himself up to heaven, cured the weather. When they've just been subject by parents to all these lies. I'm sorry I got off the subject. About Santa and the sleigh and going down chimneys and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
The world is inundated with lies.
Oh, yeah.
Daniel was telling me the other day that Rosie broke his heart when she said, there's no such thing as Santa.
Yeah, I love it. I cannot lie.
Was it just
was
the other day?
It was like 5 years old. She told me.
He had such a generous heart.
I don't know if I should say this on tape, but I'll tell you anyway. Because Harry will appreciate this. Because, you know, Sarah, when she was little, was all very blunt. You know. So anyway, when Sarah was, I don't know how old she was. Four maybe. She's 4 or 5. She was, we told her that there was no Santa, you know, I think what the kids told her. And so she was at I don't know if she was at the grocery store or somewhere, but some lady came up to her and said, are you excited for Christmas? Is Santa going to get you presents? And she has her deadpan response. She goes, Santa's dead.
Oh, gee.
He's dead.
Like Robert De Niro.
The guy's like, thought we were the most awful parents in the world.
Nobody going to dump me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So cute.
Anyway. All right, I'll rein it in now.
Yep.
Sarah, if you're listening, I'm sorry. Okay, verse 12 says, in whom, so because of his death and resurrection and all that was accomplished in and through Christ, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. That's a short verse, but that says a lot.
It does, yeah.
It says a lot. Says we have boldness. This word always means something a lot to me because it's the word in Greek is parisia, and we've seen this verse or this word before in when we were going through Hebrews. It means literally freedom of speech, outspokenness. So if we could, I think we should just spend a couple of minutes. There's a number of verses I wrote down on your outline regarding boldness. So if we can maybe start with Harry and just work our way around. Mm-hmm. Harry, if you can read Proverbs 28:1. Rosie and Daniel. Let's see, Rosie will do Acts 4:13.
You do Acts 4:31.
Yeah, 4:31 for Daniel. Joe can do Hebrews 3:6. Jay, you want to do 4:16?
Sure.
And Tansy can close out Hebrews 10:19. We'll kind of go through them quickly because for the sake of time. But these are all, the word parousia is in each one of these verses. Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 28, verse 1 says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, sorry, that's not Parisia because that's the Old Testament. But the other ones are.
Good. Yeah. Okay, Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus.
Right. Yeah, so their boldness came from the Lord. And Daniel?
After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Again, it's parousia. It means the a freedom of speech. It means freedom of speech. So they spoke the word boldly. It was like a divine enablement for them to speak.
But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. So if you're saying boldness,
yeah,
in our hope.
Yeah. Right. It's holding fast our confession.
Mm. Mm.
Actually, you know.
Oh, okay.
We're holding fast our confession. It's a freedom of speech, and it's us proclaiming the word of God, mm, you know, in boldness. Mm. Hebrews 4:16.
Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Mm-hmm.
So come boldly before the throne of grace. A lot of times you see confidence and boldness interchanged.
Yeah.
It's the same word, mm-hmm, a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And this one was interesting to me because in this verse it has boldness and confidence in the same verse. Mm-hmm. And boldness is translated confidence.
Yeah.
In other verses, the same word.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I kind of took the time to break it out. Let's see. Go ahead, Tansy. I'll let you read the last one.
I was just going to say that this is where sometimes you need a narrow prayer. Mm. You know, when you're confronted, you have a moment to speak, and you have that feeling of, oh, what do I say? Just the narrow prayer, and he'll give you the words.
Yeah.
10:19.
Yeah.
Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus.
Mm.
And I wrote down frank speech.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
When I read that the first time, you'd think, well, having boldness to enter, it's confidence to enter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's inferring frankness of speech, like you said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's more to it than that.
Yeah.
It's being able to come before the Holy Throne in confidence and petition or proclaim or worship or adore freely.
Mm.
It's like you said with the Jews or with the Gentiles. The Gentiles feel like, I don't have access.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. The Jews, I don't have access. I can send the priest in.
Yeah.
Like Sarah. She was confident about Santa Claus. He's dead.
He never really was.
Because she trusted your words,
right,
that he was not alive.
Mm.
So, you know, her confidence was in mommy and daddy. Our confidence is in the Lord.
Yeah,
whatever
yeah.
he says, we believe.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
In so many ways, we're required as Christians or told to be very humble and as sheep. But yet here, when it comes before the throne of God, we can just open the door and say, hey, I'm here, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know whom I have believed. You know
and
that
who?
Song?
Yeah.
I know.
Whom I have believed and am persuaded.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay, so in Christ, because of what he did on the cross, and that he lives again, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father, making ever intercession for us.
Mm.
Because of that, because of him, it is in him that we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. So we have access in Ephesians 2:18. Bill, if you want to read that, it's right.
For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit.
Okay. So we have access through the Son, by this Holy Spirit, we have access to the Father. He's got it all laid out. Yeah, I think it's beautiful how the Trinity is interwoven throughout Scripture. It shows the relationships and yet the oneness. It's pretty amazing. And again, it's both Jew and Gentile. Mm-hmm. Both Jew and Gentile have access, and they're looking at it from totally different perspectives, and yet the same gift is available. Yeah. And then the wisdom of God and throughout all that thing comes together. So, and so we have access or admission into, and it says, with confidence, and I put in your notes, that word is reliance upon, trust in. We have confidence in that. We can rely on the fact that we do have access, and his death and resurrection and new life is sufficient for us to trust in. Okay? And it's all through what?
Jesus.
With confidence through...
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Through faith. Through faith in him. So. And even that is a gift.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Anybody else have anything they want to add to that?
I'm just thinking of the word confidence, confide. When somebody confide in you, I mean, it's such a personal thing.
Right.
And Christ has confided in us this truth. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so relational.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's what he wants.
Yeah,
it's all about
confide.
Relationship.
When you confide, you usually confide with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And a friend you have what?
That you trust.
Intimacy, mm-hmm. You have trust. Mm-hmm. You can open up. You can be right. Transparent.
Right.
But the Jews didn't think that, did they? Transparency
no.
Before the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
No. Fear. You know. Moses, you go up to the mountain. We'll stay down here.
That's right, yeah.
Right? So you're right, Rosie. We should have that confidence and that boldness and because the access is there. And we'll see more of that as we go down here in the next couple of verses about the intimacy that he desires.
It does. You have an awe and a respect.
Right.
And the only place that you really have that awe and respect is with the Lord. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. And yet, there's the intimacy.
And yet there's the intimacy.
Yeah. Manifold wisdom of God. Okay, good. Let's go on to verse 13. It says, therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. Okay. Now, he says, therefore, so as a result of all that Paul's been saying previously, he says, I ask you, do not lose heart at my tribulations for you. What tribulation is he experiencing?
He's in prison.
Is he in jail at this time?
Yep. So he's in prison.
My version says not to be discouraged.
Good. No, that's good.
He also said that for our light affliction, which is for a moment, it's working out for the glory.
Yes.
For eternal life.
Mm.
But a moment, if you look at the spectrum of time, if our life is just a little dot, but within that little dot, we may have a little affliction. It's for a moment.
Mm-hmm. And we all, the gray-haired around the table know that life is just a moment. We've got that really clear now.
It's working out for us for eternal glory.
Amen. Yeah.
But you see other people going through trial, like Claire. Claire Siebert, she comes visit sometimes, but she has an operation for cancer and everything. Mm-hmm. Let's say Thursday, and it's like, well, I guess you're not going to come to Bible study on Tuesday. No, I'll be there. And she is. Mm-hmm. I mean, she goes through all these trials. What a witness she is.
She never complains of anything, and yet you have other people get an ingrown
toenail. They have ache and pain. You know? And here
I
she
mean,
is.
She has all these things, constant surgeries, and never a word of complaint. I mean, that's testimony.
Yeah, it is.
And on the other end, oh, woe is me.
You know, when I read this verse, I just keep thinking of Matt and Dee. And I keep thinking, you know, it causes you to lose heart.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, it really does. I mean, you're praying for them and praying for them, and you lose heart. But you have to know that losing heart is something the enemy is really trying to work out in you.
Yeah.
And, you know, the same thing as we're trying to build this church and things go wrong.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe as people don't come to church, we lose heart. But we can't lose heart because that's the enemy's plan. We have to really know that God is God and He works it out. So, and I, you know, I keep thinking of Matt and Dee, the amount of time that they're sitting having chemo treatments or recovering in the hospital or on the train or in rehab or whatever is going on there. You know that they're in prayer because when you're in contact with them, you can tell they've been with Jesus. So, you know, there isn't the busyness of life for them. They're in prayer, and who knows, you know, what is going to come from all of that. You know, it's a mystery to us.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, God knows what he's doing.
But it's for our benefit.
It's for our benefit.
Bill, you remember, you know, Jim Earhart? Wife Debbie, she had fought cancer for like 15 years or so, and you call her up, and what does she do? She encourages you.
Yeah.
And you're saying, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. You know, the Lord is taking care of things. I mean, she's so cheerful all the time. You know, and since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Yeah. You know, and his joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know. Well, we're supposed to be like Christ, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, we're but his disciples. See suffering
so,
now, and
right, but
could
this
follow.
Woman you're talking about is talking. She rejoices in suffering, right?
Right.
That's foreign to people.
You know, Oswald Chambers said, you know, when we pray for somebody, we have to identify with them as you know, like when we pray for Matt, put yourself in Matt's shoes to bring up the prayer. Because, you know, right now, oftentimes my prayers are very flippant. You know, give them strength, heal them, all.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not quitting myself. I'm not empathizing.
Right.
And that's what we need to do. And it's difficult because we're constantly in a rush and don't take time.
Yeah.
I think a lot of like non-believers really struggle with this because they say, well, if there's a God, then why did A, B, C, and bad things happen?
Right.
And all of that. And it's just kind of this constant, like you just talk it in circles, you know.
Right.
Because, you know, you go through the whole thing, but I think
best is yet
struggle.
To come. This is a sin-sick world, that's why.
Yeah. Yeah. And the word says, many are the afflictions of the righteous.
Right.
But the Lord delivers him out of them all.
Mm-hmm.
That is a witness. So whether it's,
I love
you know,
that.
From this body or whatever it is, he's going to deliver them from them all.
Yeah.
And
it rains on the just and the unjust.
It does. It does. But he says, don't be discouraged, is what your verse said. Mark, you want to read Joshua 1:9? That's the verse I thought of when I thought about trying to, you know, how do we combat discouragement in our lives? You know, is there a verse that you can kind of, I mean, everybody has one but that they go to. But
Joshua 1:9,
Mm-hmm.
Mark or John, you got it?
Yeah, I got that.
Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
So wherever we go, whatever he's called us to do, he's with us, and not to be discouraged, because he's going to bring you through whatever it is that you're in.
Well, in this case, he says, have I not commanded you?
Yeah, exactly. Now,
this is not just, well, if you want to, go ahead. I've commanded you, be strong and courageous.
Yeah. And how many paths have the Lord shown us? And we say, I'm not going down that road.
Yeah, yeah.
But truthfully, but his will can't be worked out.
Right.
If you're in discouragement, or you're terrified, or you're fearful, I mean, if you stay there, I mean, naturally you're going to go there.
Right.
But then you got to get out of it.
Well, his road is not easy.
No.
It's a narrow road.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's a narrow road. And because it's a narrow road, and you're in a world that is lost, you're going to have, you have an enemy.
Yeah.
And but within that road, you have guardrails.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, the important thing is keep focused on the Lord.
Right.
You know, because yesterday I bought all these devotional, you know, with all these secular people and had all these Christmas devotional. And I said, oh, you know, take one, you know. And people were taking it. I mean, hey. And then this gal, she's a Chinese gal. And I said, would you like to have one? Oh, my husband goes to church. I don't understand. I said, do you speak Cantonese? She said, yes. Okay, so I present the gospel to her in Chinese.
Wow.
I said, Lord, help me get across, because it's broken, you know. Mm. So the best I could, you know.
Do you do Chinese acronyms?
What's that?
No. Yeah, no.
So, no, because one time years ago, when I was working for an attorney, this Chinese guy, Christian, on the phone, and I said, how do you say grace? In Chinese, and I wrote it down. How do you say hell? You know, and I wrote it all down, so I remembered that. And so
that's amazing, though.
You know,
I mean, her face was radiant when you were talking to her. I have to tell you, she wasn't receiving it. I know Harry came over. What's going on over there?
Yeah, and as fast as I could, I started with creation. You know how God created the world perfectly, and then you know Eve sinned and Adam the dragon.
Kept the body. Grabbed
it
by the lapel.
Boldness.
Exactly.
We had this big sub, no knife. So I went to the owner at the deli. I said, I have no knife. You know, we bought the sub from you. We have no knife. Can I borrow your best professional knife to cut the sub? So he went and said, oh, here, you can have it. I bring it right back when I get through. And by the way, do you have any plates? So he gave me plates. And then I came back with it, and then, you know, the plates. I said, Wayne, here's some plates. So most of it I gave back. And then I went in the car, and the Lord said, give him a daily bread. Oh, there's a daily bread. And I went back in. I mean, I went back in three times. And I went in. Here's the daily bread for you to draw closer to the Lord. And this other gal, here's one for you too. Oh. You know? And said, I need it. The gal said, I really need it. Thanks, Rosie. So you do it with boldness. I mean, it's like, this is my everyday thing, kind of. Not like, oh, if you want one. I said, here, have one.
It's quarter till.
Okay.
It's quarter till.
Yeah, I know. So. But I get so excited, and they get that excitement too.
He said, it's quarter till.
So, verse 13. So, basically, Paul's saying that his suffering should not be a source of fainting to the people. It should be a cause for thankfulness. You know, because, you know, God cares about you so much that, you know, I should suffer you for your sake, you know. And Jesus is the same thing. Jesus suffered for your sake. He loves you that much. It should be a source of thankfulness. And an encouragement not to be discouraged, not to lose heart, not to his grief and suffering shouldn't be in vain. You know, it should be a source of their growth. And so, don't lose heart. Okay, verse 14. Let's close out. Let's see, we got time. Verse 14. It says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to read the whole thing. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Okay, so verse 14, it says, for this reason, basically what's happening here, this is just a resumption of Paul's prayer, which began in verse 1. If you see in verse 1, he says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles. And then he goes on this kind of, this extended, oh, by the way, if indeed you've heard of the dispensation of the grace, you know, how that by revelation, I, you know, all the things it's just a description. Mm-hmm. And then he goes back, right back into here in verse 14, his prayer. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And then I won't steal Jeff's thunder by going further down, but
it's so good though.
Yeah, but basically what it is Paul's bringing us back to the thought of the Jew and the Gentile becoming one body in Christ.
Right. And
so he says, "I bow my knees." What does that suggest to you about his attitude?
Humility and thankfulness. Mm-hmm.
Humility, praise, thankfulness.
He's got it clear. He's got it clear who he is,
yeah,
and what his role is, what God has called him. He's being obedient,
yeah,
and he's grateful about it.
Yeah.
We just watched a movie in my East-West class, and we were talking about the English teacher is a director, so he knows how everything works, and he was telling us, like, just watch the camera angles. And there's a scene in the movie where in the caste system in India there's untouchables, mm-hmm, and they're not to be touched, and this hero and main character of the film touches the untouchable, and you know, everyone else gasps. But what happens is he gives this big speech about, you know, like, including people, and you see the camera just shifts and it makes the untouchable level with, uh-huh, someone, or it'll shift up so that it's looking down on someone so that they're lowered. So I think, like, the fact that he's lowering himself just kind of, mm-hmm, I don't know,
that's
maybe think
really
of the
point. Yeah, mm-hmm, really good point.
Yes.
Something physical to show.
Is that your family?
Spiritual.
Yeah. The elephants.
Yeah,
the elephants.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Speaking.
Or sir.
I saw Stephen.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying that, you know, God will show you something in the natural to show you something in the spiritual. And so, I mean, what, you know, Jade is saying, you know, with the camera angles and with bowing down, you know, that's something in the natural that our eyes can see and then, you know, make our judgment. And he's trying to show us in the spiritual, this is the way it really is. You know, like, we're all equal in God's eyes. And yet, you know, we're not equal to God. We, yeah, need to bow down.
Yeah.
We need to accept whatever comes our way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he's certainly trying to give us a new perspective on,
yeah,
on the way we see things versus the way God sees, mm-hmm, things. Sure.
That's what's so exciting as a Christian, is that because we become Christians and all our perspectives are really wrong. and as you walk with the Lord, he keeps changing your perspective, mm-hmm, about things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so exciting.
He gives us a new heart transplant.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it starts
really
with humility.
Does.
It starts, yeah, with bowing your knee,
yeah,
and submitting.
I think of Sarah again when we had baptism, and she was a itty bitty little girl, and she says, "Nobody's going to dunk me." She didn't know the Lord, mm-hmm, you know, in a deep way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, that's how we start out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
All sinners saved by grace.
Yeah.
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 I thought it was interesting too. It says that he bows his knee, but it says, to whom does Paul bow his knee?
To Jesus.
Yeah, but who's it saying in the verse here?
To the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
To the Father. To the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody want to read who's next? Romans 8:15-17. I thought of that this morning. Who's next? Is it Harry? Are you up, Mary? Want to read Romans 8, verse 15 to 17?
Romans 8, 15
through 17. 15. I was just going to do 15, but I...
For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Mm.
Romans. Right. So...
And 17, right?
And 17, and 17 yeah. Moms. You might as well. I was.
And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together.
Yeah.
So if is a big word.
Yeah. Yeah.
And 18.
I started at 1, I went to 3. You can keep going.
I know.
Yeah. But a lot of what we're talking about is woven into that passage.
Yeah.
What I got, you know, based in light of the scripture we're reading in Ephesians, you know, he bowed his knees to the Father. God wants to reveal himself to us, you know, as Father. Abba Father. You know, again, the Jew and Gentile, they didn't understand this intimacy that we talked about earlier, Tansy. I had to speak one Sunday, and I think it was with the compassion thing, and we had studied Hebrews. You know, Hebrews 1:12 says that in the past God would speak to us through prophets, but now I'm speaking to you in a son. You know, and when God wanted to speak to his people, he would speak through prophets. But when he wanted to reveal himself as Father, he spoke through his Son. The only one who was qualified, the only one who knew God, the Father, as Father, really, was Jesus. You know? And the prophets didn't. They could speak of what they heard, but they didn't know him, you know, as a Father. And now Jesus is revealing to us God as Father. Right? Somebody will read John, what's John chapter 14? Yeah. 6 through 10. Jesus is explaining this to his disciples, the same concept, you know, of God as a Father. Who's up, Rosie?
Yeah.
Here, Rosie. I'm going to wind it up.
John 14, 6 through 10. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works.
Yeah. So Jesus is here to reveal the Father. And it says in Ephesians that where is that? He bows his knee to the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family derives its name from the Father, the character of the Father, you know, the personality of the Father, the relationship to the Father. That, you know, he wants us as, and the only way that manifold wisdom of God is going to be expressed is to see that those attributes worked out in us corporately. That's pretty amazing.
It is.
The whole family, that's the body of Christ he's talking about.
Yeah. you know, in heaven and earth, right? Those who have gone before us are all part of that family. And those who are coming behind. And God is going to bring that group together corporately as his bride.
Yeah.
That has all the attributes. And it is a sign and a witness to the principalities, the powers, demonstrating the wisdom of God and all that. It's pretty amazing.
And the family of God, the church, has such a, there's, you know, there's an essence, there's a flavor.
Right.
I don't know, there's a fragrance in it.
Yeah.
And so no matter where you go, you know, you feel it when you go to another church you're visiting.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's like very exciting.
It is. It's family.
It's family. You are part of that family.
It should be family.
Did you meet Torpedo yesterday?
Yes.
Talks about Jesus. And I said, oh, you know Jesus. I gave him a big hug. You know, we're all in one family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't understand that when I first became a Christian. You know, the Lord just changed my heart, and I was so excited. So I'd go somewhere or go to college, and somebody would say they were Christian.
I'd
start just, you know, feeling totally comfortable with them. But yeah. Then I didn't realize that what my definition of Christian and theirs was different.
Oh, yeah.
And so I said, so... Tell me about it. She said, how did you accept Jesus? And they're like, what?
Oh.
Well, I just go to church over there. So, but I didn't realize it.
Did you go in the South?
No.
Where'd you go?
In Pennsylvania.
When we were touring colleges in the South, that we walked into like a fast food place, and I was like, the first thing I noticed is there was worship music over the thing. And then, you know, like we're sitting there, and we always pray in restaurants. And
see you later, have fun.
Praying, people praying before they ate. I was like,
yeah.
I could just soaked it in. It was so exciting because around here it's like you get weird looks when.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it should be family wherever you go.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. All right. Good job, guys. Okay. Why don't we close in prayer? Mark, you want to close?
Father, thank you for this time that we've set aside to come and to open your word, and we thank you more than anything that you reveal it to us. And Father, we pray that as you reveal your word and new truths and we read these stories, that you would change our lives through those things, that it would affect us in a way that's positive, that would bring honor to you, that would give us the courage and the strength and the boldness that we need. Father, that this isn't just something that's on the sidelines for us. Mm-hmm. This is our life. Mm-hmm. And when we speak in public and when we go out and we're amongst people that don't know you, that we speak it as if it's a part of our life because mm-hmm. it should be our life. So,
amen.
Father, affect our lives that way through your word. Mm-hmm. Strengthen and encourage us. Father, we pray now for the worship service, that you would be with those that sing, those that preach, mm-hmm. that it would all be done for your glory. And that it would be effective and powerful. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.